disregard for the law of God and for the law of man. Wherever lawlessness abounds, in a godless environment, authentic love dissipates.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
If you happen to have your Bible, would you turn with me to Revelation, the third chapter? And we're looking at the seventh of seven messages of Jesus to the seven churches to whom the book of Revelation is addressed. We've looked already at the Ephesus syndrome, the Smyrna story, what we call the Pergamos slope and the Thyatira slide, the Sardis saga. We saw the Philadelphia success. And today, in this final message in this series that comes out of these two chapters, we'll see what we call the Laodicean sickness. Beginning in verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen. This is how Jesus describes himself. He is the Amen, the stable one, the final one, the true one. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning, or perhaps better, the beginner of the creation of God, the one who spoke it into existence. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, it's the only place in the Bible that term appears, at least the only place in the New Testament appears. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you. Literally, it's a very indelicate expression. I will vomit you out of my mouth. The Greek word is emesai. In the medical profession, we use a term like emetic, which is an inducement to vomiting. And that's the Greek word. I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing, but you do not know that you are. There's a difference between what you say and what you are. That's what Jesus is saying here. You say this, but you are this. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Don't be apathetic, which seemed to be characteristic of that church. Be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Laodicea is located about 100 miles straight east of Ephesus, about 43 miles to the southeast of Philadelphia. Laodicea had been a fortress. The serious handicap that all its water supply had to come by underground aqueduct from springs no less than 6 miles away. It's very dangerous if you're trying to be a fortress and your water supply can easily be cut off. And by the time it arrived from 6 miles away through that aqueduct, it was lukewarm. And that's what Jesus has in mind when he uses this kind of verbiage. Laodicea was a great banking and financial center. It was so wealthy that it did not even need God. Secondly, it was a great center of clothing manufacture. The sheep which grazed around Laodicea were famous for their soft, violet, black, glossy wool. Laodicea was so proud of the garments it produced that it never realized it was naked in the sight of God. And it was a very considerable medical center. So famous were its doctors that the names of some appeared on the coins of Laodicea. And that medical school was famous for two things, ointment for the ear and ointment for the eye. Its Phrygian powder, it was called, was exported all over the world in solidified tablet form in the shape of little rolls. Laodicea was so conscious of its medical skill in the care of the eyes that it never realized that it was spiritually blind. It's a fascinating city, a fascinating story, and a fascinating message from Jesus to it. I've titled this message, The Laodicean Sickness. We have a medical model, I think, going on in this letter, this message of Jesus to the church at Laodicea. There's something terribly wrong with this church. This body is sick, the Laodicean body. I call it the deadening impact of self-sufficiency, pride and apathy, lethargy and complacency. A contemporary aged theologian recently wrote in one of his documents these words. He said, our generation is lost to the truth of God, to the reality of divine revelation, to the content of God's will, to the power of God's redemption, and to the authority of His Word. That's how he describes our generation. For this loss, he says, it is paying dearly in a swift relapse to paganism. The savages are stirring again. You can hear them rumbling and rustling in the tempo of our times. I think he's right. They're there regularly in education and media and government and law and medicine and all the vehicles of power. We can hear them rumbling and rustling in the tempo of our times. Worse, however, than pagan rumblings, if I may say so. You don't have to agree with everything I say. Unless I read a text of Scripture, you ought to agree with that. Worse, however, than pagan rumblings is Christian crumblings. I mean the lethargy and complacency, the apathy and self-sufficiency of huge segments of the Church of Jesus Christ on the North American continent. It is often theologically emptied out. Truth is being thinned. Theology is being expelled. It is often theologically emptied out and missionally passive, not very excited about doing God's work anymore. We often listen to God's word with the arms of our hearts folded, a sort of ho-hum, complacent spirit. 76% of Bible-believing churches, not liberal churches or churches that have departed from the truth, 76% of Bible-believing churches in the United States have either peaked or are in decline. I hope we can be a part of the 24% who are neither. I hope we haven't peaked. We still have some pews to fill up. I hope we haven't peaked, and I hope we're not in decline. It's frightening. It's a frightening time, I think, as a pastor. It's a frightening time when the pagans are rumbling and the church is crumbling. And that's the way it was in Laodicea. The letter I just read a moment ago, Revelation 3, 14 to 22. That's the way it was in Laodicea. Laodicea was part of a tri-city area closely associated with Colossae. There's a letter to the Colossians in the New Testament. And Hierapolis, a tri-city area, all about 10 miles distance from each other. Laodicea, Colossae, Hierapolis. Laodicea was rich and famous, luxuriant in lifestyle. Due to her gold, her textile industries, and her universally used eye salve. It was like the Bank of America, Macy's, and the Mayo Clinic all rolled up into one right there in Laodicea. But with her affluence came arrogance and self-sufficiency. And much of that arrogance and self-sufficiency in the city of Laodicea had rubbed off on the church in Laodicea. It had rubbed off on the Laodicean Christians. And Jesus rebukes them for it in this text. And I think there's a moral lesson for us in the 21st century in this letter. There's a moral lesson for me, and there's a moral lesson for you and for all of us. And I think the lesson is this: let's be the dependent, not the independent. Let's be the dependent people of God. Let's be a people confident and sufficient only in Christ, not in ourselves. And let us be the kind of people who find our true riches in our union with Jesus and in what we give away to others who have needs, not in our connection with the world and what we keep for ourselves. This the sternest of Christ's messages to the churches. It is. It's the sternest of his messages. This, the sternest of Christ's messages to the churches, employs a medical model by using two sobering pictures. First is the condition of a sick body. That's verses 15 to 17. One is the condition of a sick body. And it's verses 15 and 16 and 17, which I just read to you a moment ago. And if your Bible's open, you can see them there. And I think there are two weakening influences that show up in this diagnosis. Jesus is sort of diagnosing the body. And he's using sort of a medical model. And he's defining for us the nature of their sickness. And it seems to me that there are two weakening influences that show up in this diagnosis. One is low-level commitment. The second is high-level contagion. One is low-level commitment, and that shows up in verses 15 and 16. They were neither hot nor cold. Well, what were they? They were lukewarm. And that is his metaphorical way of describing low-level commitment in the Christian community. This is the only place in the New Testament where the word lukewarm is used. The expression is drawn from the geography of the area that surrounded the city. Robert Mounts, in his commentary on Revelation, I think is right. He says, the contrast here is between the hot medicinal waters of Hierapolis, which was close by, and the cold, pure waters of Colossae, which was also close by to Laodicea. Both these cities, Hierapolis and Colossae, supplied water to Laodicea through an elaborate system of aqueducts. But in both cases, when the water arrived in Laodicea, it started hot from Hierapolis. It started cold from Colossae, but in both cases, when the water arrived in Laodicea, having traveled all that mileage through those aqueducts, it had cooled or warmed to a distasteful, lukewarm temperature. And Jesus is saying that this is the condition of the heart of the people in the Laodicean church, lukewarm. David Jeremiah said in his little commentary, his little chapter on this particular church. He said, in the Bible, there are three possible heart temperatures. Is the burning heart. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us, Luke 24 and in verse 32, our hearts were aflame when Jesus spoke to us, and especially when he opened the word of God and expounded its truth to our hearts and demonstrated out of it that he was the Messiah, the one who would fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. Did not our hearts burn within us? There's the burning heart, he says, Luke 24 and verse 32. There was the cold heart, and because iniquity shall abound, or literally lawlessness, disregard for the law of God and for the things of God and the moral order of the universe. Disregard for the law of God and for the law of man. Wherever lawlessness abounds, Matthew 24, verse 12 says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. In a godless environment, authentic love dissipates. And if we're not very careful, it rubs off on us, we who are the people of God, as it did on the people of God in Laodicea. And then, of course, there is the lukewarm heart, which we read of right here to the church at Laodicea. John Stott said, and I think he was right in this case, in his commentary on this particular portion, he said the Laodicean church was a half-hearted church. God has called us to wholehearted devotion. He will have none of our half-heartedness, and I hope none of us have it. He calls us to wholehearted devotion. Stott says the Laodicean church was a half-hearted church. Perhaps, he said, none of the seven letters is more appropriate to the 20th century church than this letter. It describes vividly, I'm still quoting from him, it describes vividly the respectable, sentimental, nominal, which means in name only, but not in reality. It describes vividly the respectable, sentimental, nominal, skin deep, but not all the way down to the heart, skin deep religiosity, which is so widespread among us today. Our Christianity, he says, it is flabby and anemic. It should be trim and robust, doctrinally and missionally, but so often we are not. It is flabby and anemic. We appear to have taken, he says, a lukewarm bath of religion. Apathy infects the body of Christ, as it did in the first century. In this kind of church, ugly things happen. Think about it just for a moment. In this kind of flabby and anemic church, which is apathetic and lethargic and is not on fire for Christ, where there is no flaming fidelity to truth and to evangelism and to doing mission, and reaching people in our world with the gospel of Christ, where we're no longer taking seriously the missional mandates of the Bible. In that kind of church, ugly things begin to happen. Symptoms surface which are destructive to the well-being of the body of Christ. Symptoms like this: carnality in Christian living, a surrendering to the seductions of the flesh. We live in a flesh-feeding, flesh-showcasing world. Everywhere you go, all you see is flesh. We're easily seduced by it. And that's one of the symptoms of an apathetic church: carnality in Christian living, a surrendering to the seductions of the flesh. Another symptom is gossip and slander in that church. Murmuring and disputings, grumblings and complainings begin to circulate and make their defiling rounds. Gossip and slander scorch the soil of the body. They tarnish the soul of the body.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
If we intend to have a ministry that touches anybody's life for Jesus Christ, we cannot be a lukewarm body of believers.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.